Hey, it's Brooke and Jeffrey in the morning.
You can scroll it later, or better, you can listen live to Brooke and Jeffrey every weekday morning. Big fun, real moments, the laughs that make your day. Your station, your city, right now. That's called radio. In Seattle, that's called Movin' 92.5.
Relationships matter more than ever. I was reminded this week, forcefully and unexpectedly, just how central relationships are to our lives. I had just attended a webinar led by two Stanford researchers, Stephen Crane and BJ Fogg. On the surface, it was a practical workshop about strengthening relationships. But underneath that, it felt like something more urgent, almost a response to the moment we are living in. Stephen Crane opened the webinar by sharing findings from a recent report he authored entitled Social Connection in America 2025 Survey Report. The data reinforced something many of us intuitively feel, but don't always name. Social connection is tightly linked not only to emotional well-being, but to physical health, resilience, and longevity. This is not a soft issue. It's a consequential one. And this is a moment. We are surrounded by horror, confusion, anger, division, and uncertainty, locally, nationally, and internationally. Many people I know feel unmoored, anxious about the future, unsettled by the present, unsure who or what to trust. In times like these, it's tempting to retreat, to pull inward, to disengage. Yet the message from the webinar and from a growing body of research is exactly the opposite. This is the time to lean into relationships, not away from them. You know, maybe it's helpful to look back here a little bit to May of 2024, when I wrote a blog and did a podcast about loneliness after reading the U.S. Surgeon General's report entitled Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. What struck me then, and still does, was the data. Loneliness is not just uncomfortable, it's dangerous. Loneliness and social isolation are associated with an increased risk of heart disease, an increased risk of dementia, an increased risk of depression, and an increased risk of premature mortality. The Surgeon General famously compared chronic loneliness to being the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That earlier podcast was about naming the problem and understanding its seriousness. But what I didn't yet fully appreciate was this. If loneliness is the condition, relationships are the intervention. Relationships are not a nice to have. One of the clearest messages from the Stanford webinar was that relationships are not optional. They're not a luxury. They're not something we get around to once everything else is taken care of. Strong relationships are as essential to our health and longevity as exercise and nutrition. They protect us emotionally. They support us physically. They help us make sense of the world, especially when the world feels frightening or fragmented. And importantly, they help us hold complexity. They allow us to disagree without dehumanizing one another. They remind us that behind every headline and every opinion is a human being. Relationships don't just happen. Another insight that stayed with me is this. Good relationships rarely grow by accident. We often assume that closeness will take care of itself, but in reality, relationships require attention, intention, and small, consistent behaviors. The webinar introduced a practical tool, a relationship mapping exercise to help people be more intentional about their connections. The idea is simple, but revealing. Identify the people you care about and think deliberately about which relationships you want to strengthen. So one option is to build a framework that was introduced in the webinar that allows us to map our relationships. I found it helpful to imagine creating three separate relationship maps for myself. One focused on family, another focused on friends, and another focused on work colleagues. Each map had three columns. Who are the people that matter to you? Where are the relationships currently at? And what is one small action you could take to deepen it? Not a grand gesture, not a dramatic intervention, just one small intentional step, like a phone call, or a message, or a shared meal, or a genuine question. The goal isn't perfection, it's awareness. So small actions have a big impact. And BJ Fogg, the author of a book entitled Tiny Habits, emphasized something that felt both obvious and liberating. Small behaviors done consistently are what create change. And this applies to relationships as much as anything else, like a brief weekly check-in, or like expressing appreciation more often, or listening without fixing, or showing up when it would be easier not to. These actions may seem modest, but over time they compound. They create trust. They build resilience. They remind us that we are not alone. And why does this all matter right now? Yes, relationships are crucial for addressing loneliness and social isolation. And the data is clear. But they are also crucial right now for another reason. We are living in a time when fear and division are amplified, when outrage travels faster than empathy, when it's easy to see others instead of neighbors. Relationships humanize us. They ground us. They steady us. They help us stay connected to what is real and what matters. When the world feels uncertain, relationships become our anchor. We cannot control the larger forces shaping our time, but we can choose how we show up for the people in our lives. Strengthening our relationships may be one of the most important and the most human things we can do right now. Not as a grand solution, not as a political statement, but as a daily practice. That feels like a good place to start.
Be sure to subscribe to Meandering Musings wherever you get your favorite podcasts. For more about Neil Peterson and to read more Meandering Musings and travel essays, visit meanderingmusings.net. Tell your friends about Meandering Musings and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.